We get them periodically, and I try to choose a propitious time, sometimes three or four, sometimes only one. Tonight's will be just one question because it is rather comprehensive. And so let's begin with what that question is. It has to do with having free will in heaven. Here's the question. Evil entered the world because man chose to disobey God and eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. This was possible because God gave men free will. Since mankind has free will, we have the option of doing good or evil. If so, committing a sin in heaven must at the very least be possible. We would have the ability to choose to be righteous or sin and rebel like Satan and the angels before. All right, well, that's something to get us started. And what we would like to make clear at the outset is that the answer to the question is yes, we will have free will in heaven. Now, that brings up the second thing. Will sin be possible? Yes, but it will not occur. And you might say, how do you know that? Well, that's a good question. And we'd like to try to answer that. When Satan led a rebellion against God, and we talked about this a few weeks ago, all of the angels possessed free will. They could either go with Satan or not go with Satan. And a significant number did depart. We don't know precisely how many. I think the majority remained, but there's not a percentage given unless you interpret some of the symbols of Revelation in that regard. But the Bible does not speak about any angels leaving or departing from heaven since that time. In other words, it would seem that the angels sinning was a one-time decision. They have not been slowly sinning year after year, and a few more angels are losing their first estate as every year goes by, or every decade, or every century. Jude 6 does talk about the angels having left their first estate as though it is a one-time occurrence, which the indication is that it was. Now, did the ones who refused to join Satan lose their free will after the fall? No, they have just as much free will today as they did back at the time of the rebellion. But they made their choice, and they are not going to turn back on it. So for them, we could answer, yes, they still have free will, but no, they have decided once that one temptation came their way, they have decided since that time that they are not going to engage in sin. So we want to consider that as kind of a model for us. Well, what about us? Yes, we also have free will upon the earth. Just as God gave free will to the angels, so has He given it to us. But we are in the process of making a decision. And we will ultimately abide by that decision through our life. It is true that some make a commitment to God, to the Lord Jesus Christ, and then go back on it. But for most people, it is a lifetime decision, and we have made it and are standing with that decision that we made when we were converted to Jesus Christ. Our decision, unlike the angels, takes place over a lifetime. They had a one-time opportunity, many poorly chose to follow Satan. We are tempted all the time. We are tempted daily. We reaffirm our commitment on a daily basis. Now, we may at times be weak. We may at times make foolish decisions. We may be caught off guard and commit sin for which we need to repent. Or we may have intentionally committed some sins and then realized the foolishness of our choice and then repented of it and tried our best to remain faithful unto God ever afterward. Having chosen to obey God and at the end of our life, having been found faithful, are we then going to decide otherwise in heaven and renounce everything that we spent our lifetime obtaining? Are we going to renounce that because we still have free will? I don't think that is going to occur. For one thing, all of the sins of the flesh will no longer occur. There may be opportunities to sin in heaven, but sins of the flesh will not be among them because we won't be fleshly. We will be spirit beings like the angels. Also, since that is the case, that only leaves a couple of other categories for us to sin in. One of those would be pride, and the other one would be sins of attitude. Now, Proverbs 16:18 rightly says, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Thus, if we are guilty of pride, we will not have to worry about being in heaven. It will keep us out. Then sins of attitude, you may recall that Paul says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves of all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. We've been working on that throughout our lives. And so if we do not correct these while we are upon the earth, we really won't have to worry about what we're going to be doing in heaven. The point is that we, like the angels, have made our decision. We made the decision here on earth. And although we still have free will, we will not continue, or we will not choose to sin against God when we are in heaven. Remember that the tempter who tempted the angels in heaven and us on earth will no longer have access to tempt us anymore. Just to remind ourselves, Revelation chapter 20 and verse 10, we read that at the end of all things, we have a description of hell and one of heaven. And in Revelation 20:10, the devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire. The devil, the deceiver, the one who deceived the angels, the one who deceived Eve, the one who deceives all of us. What is it that he's going to, where is he going to be? He is going to be cast into the lake of fire, which means he has no access to heaven. So he is cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. You don't have to worry about the devil being in heaven. He's going to be busy with other things. God will keep him busy with other things, with being tormented day and night forever and ever. So the source of the problems of heaven and earth will be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, and he will not be there to deceive. He will not be there to cause anyone or tempt anyone to sin. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 15. But outside the city four square, outside the gates of heaven, outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. There will not be that individual in the gates of heaven, inside the city four square. They will not be there. And so the one who provokes, the one who tempts, will be cast aside and forever be separated from God's people. And so you couple the idea that we have made a decision, the angels made a decision, plus the idea that Satan will not be there, no one who loves and practices a lie will be there, and you have a basis for saying, yes, we will have free will, but we will always ever choose not to sin. Lying is the chief tool of Satan, and neither he nor anyone else who lies shall enter into heaven. You may be surprised, but this is the one time when it will be true, once saved, always saved. That's not true on earth, but it will be true there. Even though the possibility for sin might exist, we will choose not to, and so we will be eternally secure. Well, that doctrine's not true on earth, though. Don't misunderstand that. You have a lot of people running around saying once you're saved on earth, you're always saved. No, that's not true. And we have biblical examples of the error of that precept, Judas being one, and the people that Peter talked about in 2 Peter chapter 2 being others. No, people on earth can lose their salvation. But if you are in heaven, if you have been invited and rewarded to be in heaven, you actually do have security and will not need to worry about that possibility. So we will, at that time, maybe be the most like God that we have ever been, because he has always chosen not to sin. It is his character not to sin. It is his nature not to sin. But he's not going to change his character. He's not going to change his nature. He never has. He has always been in that state. And we are not going to choose to be any different when we are in heaven either. But now we want to return to the question, because there was more to the question. And here we are. Alternately, if we keep our will in heaven, no, that's not the one we wanted to get to. Let me just read that part. If we do not have free will, does that imply that our free will be removed upon entering into heaven? If we can sin, will our free will be removed by entering into heaven? Well, if we actually did lose our free will, then God would be back to the same dilemma that existed initially. All of our worship in heaven would be vain because we wouldn't have any choice. You see what the point is there. Why go through all of the struggles here on earth and then be invited into heaven, and as we're on our way in, our free will is stripped? We don't have it anymore. Well, if that's the case, God may as well have made us automatons initially and spared us the experience of earth. Why have free will and then have it taken away? What would be the value? If it is no value to God for us to worship him here on earth because we're like computers, we're like robots, we don't have any choice, then wouldn't that be the same worthless thing in heaven to have our free will stripped away? So, yes, we will have free will. Now, another part of the question is, alternately, if we keep our free will in heaven, will God simply remove our knowledge of evil to prevent sin and evil from occurring in heaven? In other words, will we lose our knowledge of evil and be like Adam and Eve before they ate the tree of knowledge of good and evil? Well, that too is an interesting question. So let's see what we can find in terms of an answer. If God removed our knowledge of good and evil, then certain other things would have to follow. And the first is, we would not remember that we overcame sin through Jesus. If you don't have any more knowledge of sin, how are you going to remember that we overcame sin through Jesus Christ our Lord? We would not be able to remember all of our past struggles that involve sin, and how we relied on the Word of God, how we relied on God's providence to help us overcome sin, and yes, even each other's help to overcome sin. If there's no sin in our memory, then we don't have anything that follows from that. We don't have any knowledge of God rescuing us from it, or our help, the help of each other to overcome sin. Second, what would happen to Jesus' prophecy? Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall never pass away. If the words of Jesus are never going to pass away, then how could we lose our knowledge of sin? Does the word that Jesus spoke not contain condemnation of sin? Well, we know that it does. Going to Matthew chapter 15, just as an example, there are many others that could be selected. But in Matthew chapter 15, beginning with verse 18, Jesus says, "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man." How could we not have a knowledge of sin? Jesus is about to explain. "For out of the heart produce evil thoughts, murderers, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man." If Jesus' words last forever, then we have to have knowledge of sins such as is defined in this passage. But also, he speaks of righteousness too, which is the opposite of sin. And in passages such as Matthew 7:12, "All things you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets," or about loving one another. So we have John 13:34 and 35. So we have the positive precepts that Jesus gave, and we also have the condemnations of sin. We would not have these if our knowledge of sin was removed. Third, if we lost our knowledge of good and evil, then how could we truly worship and honor Jesus who died on the cross for our sins if our knowledge of sin were taken away? If the reason for the sacrifice were removed from our minds, then how could we not lose appreciation for what Jesus did and accomplished on the cross? And how could we not lose sight of the gospel, the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ? Would we not forget That gospel by which we are saved, the scripture reading for this evening, 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4. Yes, because the gospel involves Jesus' death on the cross for our sins. But we could not remember that if we had no knowledge of sin. Surely, God would not remove the knowledge of the crucifixion from us. And we will also lose the fact that in baptism, we were buried with him and then risen again. As Paul defines it in Romans chapter 6, 3 through 5, the death of Christ for our sins, the burial, and the resurrection. We join in his death, and his death was for our sins. We repent of our sins. We cannot lose that knowledge. All knowledge of gospel meetings and preaching would have to be removed from our memories as well. Can we forget that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation? Salvation from what? Sin. Romans 1 and verse 16. And wouldn't we wonder why we were being rewarded? 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8. Why are we being given a crown of life? Unless it is for the fact that we have overcome sin through the blood of Christ. Our memory should be enhanced as we enter into heaven, as we sit down as promised with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, as we perhaps are afforded the opportunity to talk with Peter and Paul and the saints of all the ages. This is a thing that we do not want to overlook or lose sight of. Wouldn't you like to have a conversation with Ruth about her loyalty and steadfastness in the support of her mother-in-law? Wouldn't you like to see the beautiful Queen Esther, who put her life on the line in order to save her people? The godly Daniel, the great encourager, Barnabas? Some of the angels who have done God's bidding throughout time. Are you not looking forward to that kind of scenario? Don't you want to be there and enjoy the wonders of heaven? As we said this morning, if you miss heaven, you will miss everything. And let me add to that, you will also miss everybody worthwhile. What a time that will be. But our memories will not be erased. We will be able to recall with fondness the victories that we had over Satan, the ultimate victory being given a crown of life. It all comes through Jesus. We will have our memories because these things are significant, and we need them for a full appreciation of what God has done for us. So we will have our memories and learn even more. We will have free will, and unlike earth, always choose to honor God. If you have not made that decision to honor God, we encourage you to start tonight. Do not delay, do not wait. This is too important. This is something you cannot afford to miss. And Jesus has already paid the price. You need to just simply take advantage of the body that was broken, the blood that was shed on the cross for our sins. And you can do that by, as we've already discussed, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and being buried with him in baptism, where you can rise to walk in newness of life, knowing that all of your past sins have been forgiven, and knowing that the blood of Christ continually cleanses us of our sins as we walk in the light. 1 John 1, 7 through 9. If you have already obeyed the gospel, stand fast in the faith. Do not let anything hinder you or persuade you to do other than be faithful throughout your life. Can we help you spiritually this evening? Please let us know if we can, while we stand and while we sing.